Butler, G.I. Daniels, A.G. Irwin. Loma Linda, California, April 27, 1906. Brethren Butler, Daniels, and Irwin. Dear brethren, recently I have received letters from Elder Butler and from several others asking the question, shall we plan to hold a large camp meeting early this summer in Battle Creek? My answer is, I cannot advise this. The Lord has faithful men who will bear the messages of truth in Battle Creek. But the holding of a camp meeting would not be the best way to meet the strange elements that exist there. The Lord has revealed to me that if special meetings were called for in Battle Creek, in the form of a camp meeting, there would be brought into close association men of all phases of experience, and many who, as ignorant of the true position of the men who are resisting the truth, would be in great danger of being deceived. We are to watch for souls as they that must give an account. There must continue to stand in Battle Creek men of God's appointment to sound the last message of warning to those who know not the truth. The tabernacle there must be in the possession of true and faithful men who shall use it as a means of communicating truth to those who desire to find out things true and excellent. The faithful messengers must not make a raid on any man or group of men, but must speak the truth in pure language. As faithful watchmen, they must declare that the night cometh upon all transgressors, and that the day of everlasting joy will dawn upon those who choose to become refined, purified, and made white in the blood of the Lamb. At the time of the Lake Union Conference of 1904, we were moving in the fear of God when we tried to bring together at Berrien Springs our ministering brethren and our physicians. At that meeting, the Lord wrought in a wonderful manner. We knew that we had the truth that is the power of God unto salvation. The message that I bore was from God. It was He who sustained me as I gave this message to the people. Early in the meeting, I was told that Dr. Kellogg had not been invited, and so we invited him at once. But during this meeting, he and his associates placed themselves in opposition to the general work. They were determined not to yield. They resisted the influences of the Holy Spirit that were pleading with them to yield. This placed them where they became rejectors of the word the Lord had sent. And having taken their stand not to yield, they in their opposition sought to make things appear to be in their favor, when decidedly the opposite was the case. The scenes that were presented to me at that time are sad to think of. In the visions of the night, there passed before me representations showing that invitations of mercy and offers of forgiveness had been opposed, slighted, rejected. At the Berrien Springs meeting, there was offered a golden opportunity for all to yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit. But satanic agencies were on the ground, working mightily with human agencies, and some souls acted out the devising of the tempter. And their efforts since that time have resulted in blinding the eyes of others. A true history of their actions has been traced by the one who has charge of the heavenly books of record, in which will one day appear the result of their wicked resistance of the Spirit of God. Since the Berrien Springs meeting, I have visited Battle Creek and have borne a straight testimony under the power of the Holy Spirit. I have also sent many messages of counsel and warning. The Lord has given me opportunity by voice and pen to reveal to those in Battle Creek that I am standing on the platform of eternal truth, the same truth that God gave to the pioneers of the third angel's message, point by point, through a study of the Word, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I have given them the truth as God has given it to me, truth that has been the light and assurance of His people for the past half century. The messages that God has given me have been communicated to His people, both by word of mouth and in printed form. Thus my work has been made doubly sure. I am instructed that the Lord, by His infinite power, has preserved the right hand of His messenger for more than half a century, in order that the truth may be written out as He bids me write it for publication, in periodicals and books. Why? Because if it were not thus written out, when the pioneers in the faith shall die, there would be many new in the faith who would sometimes accept as messages of truth teachings that contain erroneous sentiments and dangerous fallacies. Sometimes that which men teach as special light is in reality specious error, which, as tares sown among the wheat, will spring up and produce a baleful harvest. And errors of this sort will be entertained by some until the close of this earth's history.
There are some who,
upon accepting erroneous theories, strive to establish them by collecting from my writings statements of truth, which they use separated from their proper connection and perverted by association with error. Thus, seeds of heresy, springing up and growing rapidly into strong plants, are surrounded by many precious plants of truth, and in this way, a mighty effort is made to vindicate the genuineness of the spurious plants. And so it was with the heresies taught in Living Temple. The subtle errors in this book were surrounded by many beautiful truths. This specious device of the enemy had a deleterious influence upon many souls. The seductive fallacies of Satan undermined confidence in the true pillars of the faith, which are grounded on Bible evidence. Truth is sustained by a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." But there has been a weaving in of error, and the use of scriptures out of their natural connection, in order to substantiate fallacies, which would deceive, if possible, the very elect. At the Berrien Springs meeting, men who have spoken and acted in a deceptive manner said, "I did not confess." These boastful declarations are traced in the books of heaven, where, unless repented of, they will appear when every case is decided. The one who said, "I did not confess," has much to confess, much to repent of, else he will never see the face of Christ or enter in through the gates of the city of God. God cannot sustain in positions of responsibility men who consider it beneath their dignity to confess their errors and sins. One wrote, "I have surrendered, and we thought that there would be a change. But we have no evidence that he has surrendered a single point by confession and humiliation. We are sorry for him, knowing as we do that confession must come sooner or later, if not voluntarily now, then finally before the universe of heaven and the multitude that shall compose Satan's vast army encircling the city of God, in the vain supposition that numbers will prevail. Those who persist in refusing to confess now will then be forced to confess their errors, their unfaithful, underhand dealing, and all their transgression of the law of God. Oh, how much better to confess errors now than to leave them until the opening of the records in the books of heaven, when every act shall be revealed, and even the motives that led to action. God reads the secrets of every heart, and the day draws near when all who have united in calling the actions of the unrighteous man just and righteous will see that they have acted a part in deceiving the man and that they have been partakers of his unrighteous deeds. They will then understand that because they have strengthened his evil propensities by passing them by without reproof, they are united with him in the sin. And as surely as the Lord has spoken, they will share the punishment when it will be administered in the presence of an assembled universe. I am instructed to continue to bear my testimony regarding the work in Battle Creek, as I have ever done, and I am to leave the consequences with the Lord. Just as long as there are honest souls there seeking light, attention must be given to the problem of saving these souls. But I desire to say, we cannot go right into the enemy's camp, expecting to change the evil influences that exist in Battle Creek. Throughout the world, satanic science will become stronger and more fully developed from this time henceforth until Christ rises from his throne and puts on the garments of vengeance. To every unrepentant sinner who regards it as no disgrace to do evil works, but rather a disgrace to confess his sins, the Lord will then render according as his deeds have been. In the name of the Lord God of Israel, I call upon all those who have had the light that has come to them through God-given testimonies now to take their stand. Make haste before it is too late for wrongs to be righted. Come and demonstrate that you are on the Lord's side. No longer excuse transgression on the part of yourself or of any other soul. God is in earnest with us. Some who have regarded it as a virtue to stand by and sympathize with the men whose actions are unbecoming and unrighteous, whose actions wield an influence to deceive many precious souls, will lose their own souls by their wrong course. And so I say, no. Let us not hold a large camp meeting in Battle Creek. If God has given you words that should be spoken to save his elect from deception, speak them. But bear in mind that under certain circumstances, your words might be so misinterpreted and misconstrued as to be used in framing false statements that are in harmony with the unconsecrated mind. No longer should our people gather together in Battle Creek as they have in the past. The seeds of infidelity have been sown there. Skepticism has been encouraged. Therefore, our students should be advised to seek a more spiritual, a purer atmosphere. Christ is the greatest educator the world ever knew. He is your true and certain Savior. He saves to the uttermost all who come to Him confessing their sins. Many can improve their talents by using them in harmony with the manner in which Christ labored when He was upon the earth. Let not the days pass by and precious opportunities be lost of seeking the Lord with all the heart and mind and soul. If we accept not the truth in the love of it, we may be among the number who will see the miracles wrought by Satan in these last days and believe them. Many strange things will appear as wonderful miracles, which should be regarded as deceptions manufactured by the father of lies. The Lord's mercy and blessing know no limit. And yet it has been plainly presented before me that if men continue to work out their ambitious designs, the Lord will manifest His counterworking efficiency. He will not much longer leave even the appearance that He, the God of heaven, is continuing to serve with those upon whose minds the enemy of all righteousness is moving. To those who have long been in Battle Creek and who have no special duty there, the watchman must now say, "Let the men who are converted, the men who will keep their spiritual eyesight undimmed, use their consecrated gifts in localities where the people will be susceptible to the impression made by the Word of God."